at various times and in various ways, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Then turn to chapter 8 and the first three verses. Thank you. Chapter 8. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such an high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected, and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. Then let us turn to chapter 10 and read verses 11 to 13. Chapter 10, beginning at 11. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. And finally, we'll come to chapter 12, well-known portion of Scripture, the first three verses. Chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. May these four portions of Scripture be blessed, and the meditation of his precious word to each one of us this evening. Beloved brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, as a family, my dear wife, Masi Sambab, and myself, we are grateful to elders of this assembly and all the saints of this assembly for praying for us, upholding us and our feeble ministry at the throne of grace. It is our privilege that we are able to be with you this evening. About 6 years ago we were here, and I want to thank the elders and the saints of this assembly for your prayers and also your care and concern for the Lord's servants way back in Andhra Pradesh and Telangana. We appreciate your fellowship all these years sent to Assembly Believers Society, ABS, in AP, either passed on through elders or through Brother Alex Kurian when he visited Andhra. We appreciate. We want you to know that now the number has gone up to 570 plus. It is touching 600. Still the Lord is faithful. Well, beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, before we spend some time in prayer, the season of prayer, we will remind ourselves of our blessed Lord from the portions of Scripture that we have read this evening. We know very well that you know all these things quite well. You are well taught. but simply to remind ourselves of our blessed Lord, our great Savior, the author and finisher of our faith. The writer or writers of this epistle, whoever they might be, it was the Spirit of God who is bringing these things to our attention, that we focus on Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is the excellent topic and the best subject in the Word of God. There are many books, and all the 66 books convey to us the mind of God and the message of God, and gives us the design of God and His desire for us, and wherein is His delight, but above all, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior that excels. You need not repeat how great He is in all these 13 chapters, because we are well known. The greatness of our Savior and the greatness of our salvation, that is mainly dealt with in the epistle to Hebrews. As a simple believer, I have been going through the Word of God for my personal study, and these years I am more drawn to the greatness and the person of Christ Jesus from various books of Holy Canon, and one such is Hebrews. In Hebrews this evening, we have read from chapter 1, chapter 8, chapter 10, and chapter 12, 3 verses in each chapter. But in all these 3 portions of Scripture, we have the subject of our Lord and where He is seated. It speaks of Jesus Christ, who sat down at the right hand of God, at the right hand of the Father on high. Why mention is made of our blessed Lord and the Spirit of God brings this truth, emphasizing that He sat down at the right hand of God. So we shall briefly consider, where is He seated? How is He seated? And why is He seated? When we come to chapter 12, there is encouragement coming to us that we keep looking to this blessed Lord who sat down at the right hand of the Majesty. We keep looking to Him, and we run the race that is set before us. There is a race that is set before us. We need not think of getting entry into this race. We are already in the race. There are 3 things to note, at least 3 things to note from chapter 12 of Hebrews when we consider this race. Number 1 is our captain. The captain before us. Number 2 is the cloud. The cloud of great witnesses behind us. And number 3 is the course. Our course. How we need to run this race. How we need to understand the value of getting involved in this race. And please the Master who has called us, and how we are to continue this race and conclude it to the full satisfaction of our blessed Lord. You can develop on these things, as I said before. You know these things before. I am only reminding you, and I want you to be stirred up in spirit, that we would not neglect this so great a salvation. We give ourselves to finish our race, even if we are almost towards the end of this race. Let us finish it as he expects from each one of us. Now, as we are considering these portions of scripture and highlighting the position of our blessed Lord, where is he now? Where is he seated? He is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. We know, having purged our sins, come back with me to chapter 1. Though the same thing is mentioned in all these four chapters, it says that having purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So we need not worry about our sins. Those simple believers who may go through the epistle of Hebrews come under the danger of mistaking the merits and the value of salvation. Those who go through chapter 6 and chapter 10, they are likely to mistake this great Savior and the great salvation he has given us free of cost. But this epistle, I understand, is not given to us to frighten us, nor to discourage us, rather to establish us in faith and to give us hope that we have a blessed Savior who is not only the author of our salvation, but he is the finisher of our salvation. He is the Alpha and Omega, A to Z of salvation. We don't deserve the salvation, but he speaks of the Savior right from chapter 1 through 13 chapters. He is the author. He is the source. He is the designer, the author of creation, the author of salvation, the author of hope, the author of help, the author of comfort and consolation, the author of our faith, the captain of our salvation, or the captain of our faith. So, we look forward, we look unto him, having looked upon him as one who was hung upon the cross of Calvary. We have been saved, brought into the family of God, we belong to him. But we need to keep looking unto him day by day. There is a great cloud of witnesses behind us. So many warriors of faith mentioned, named and unnamed men and women, godly men and women. But our call is not to look unto them because they are human beings. So as human beings, no one is perfect. We live in the sinful flesh and we live in the sinful world. So therefore we cannot attain perfection. We have been saved and he is helping us to take care of our salvation. In fear and trembling, we work out our salvation. But we look forward to a day when the Lord will come down to receive us, to take us to himself. Then we will be relieved from this vile body. Every likeliness of sin is there. We will be thoroughly relieved, delivered from all the sinful world, and we will be with the blessed Lord in glory forever and ever. Therefore, we need not be discouraged. As we go through this epistle, it rather strengthens us. In chapter 2, it says, "So great a salvation." And when we come to chapter 5, the Spirit of God reminds us of Jesus Christ after the order of Melchizedek. He is the author of eternal salvation. And we come to chapter 7, it says, he, Jesus Christ, one who is seated at the right hand of the Father, is able to save us to the uttermost. So, Why should we fear? Why should we doubt? Do not draw back. That's the caution being given right from chapter 10 to the end of chapter 13. After the doctrinal section, we have a practical section from chapter 10 and 18. This evening we are just considering the Lord and his position. We have one who has gone before us. He is our forerunner. He is our file leader. He is the first and the last. The first and the last of our salvation. We do not merit this salvation. Each day we are being saved by the power of the Spirit of God. Grace is available. As we go through these pages, 13 chapters of Hebrews, one who is seated at the right hand of God, how is he seated? When he is seated there, Father gave him that highest rank and position, that dignity, a place and a name, and a ministry that was given to our Lord. No one else in the world can acquire that. No one else deserves that. So it pleased the Father to call him from among the dead. Thou art my son. Today have I begotten thee. And he said, my son, sit thou on my right hand. Therefore, son waited until the father called him and asked him to sit at his right hand. He was not in a hurry. He was so obedient to the father, subject to the father. He was the delight of the father. It was his heart's desire to please him in every aspect of life. Thus, now he is seated at the highest place, the right hand of the Father, our majesty on high, above all principalities, above all powers. Therefore, the powers of darkness can do nothing against the redeemed ones, those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. He is seated. Having purged our sins, he is seated. The second thing is, when we come to chapter 8, the sum and substance of all these things is given there. Actually, it starts with chapter 1 itself. When he writes that he purged our sins, that is the work of an high priest, right? And in chapter 2, he says, in the likeness of men, he appeared in the fullness of grace and truth. He did not take upon himself the form of angels, but he became a man indeed, a type of Boaz, a type of David, a type of Joseph, a real man, partaker of flesh and blood. That is why he is able to continue the ministry of a greater high priest and help us, mankind, redeemed mankind. He is able, he is faithful, he is helpful. What an high priest. He is seated there. And now we read about his ministry here, chapter 8. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such an high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary. As to chapter 1, we notice this Lord as one who is seated, having purged our sins. That is emphasized there. And the key point here is, in chapter 8, he is seated. How is he seated there and for what? As a minister of the heavenly sanctuary. We are not thinking of the tent or tabernacle. We are not thinking of the house of God in the days of Solomon or Zerubbabel. But we enter into the sanctuary indeed. That is a heavenly sanctuary. And our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek. He continues to minister unto us in that sanctuary. Standing before the Father each day, each minute, on our behalf, on my behalf, this Sambab is wicked. This Sambab lives in wretched life. though having been redeemed, but there is an high priest for this man, this woman. What a great ministry, a minister of the sanctuary. He is able to save us to the uttermost. Now we come to chapter 10. He is seated at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. 11, 12, and 13. So, he is seated, the same Jesus Christ as an high priest, greater than the heavens. But he was seated and waiting. He was waiting. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. When he came here 2,000 years ago, he gave himself. He committed himself, or rather he delivered himself into the hands of the wicked enemies, whether Romans or Jews. The Son of Man is giving himself. But now, here is a day the Father has appointed or designed. Until the Father makes his enemies his footstool, our blessed Lord is waiting there, having sat down. He's waiting. So these four chapters give us four pictures of the present position of our Lord and the purpose of being seated thus. And the profit we gain. It is for our benefit only. He said, he is seated there at the right hand of the Father. As to high priests or priests of Old Testament economy, nobody was to sit down. There were no chairs in the tabernacle. We read about Eli because he was a heavy built man. It was there, but scriptures do not give us any permission, and we don't read of that because their ministry was not fulfilled. They did not accomplish it. They were waiting for, or in the scriptures there is a thought given clearly that there is one to come, that is Christ Jesus. The fulfillment of the law. In the will of the Father, he was to come down, lay down his life for us, and having been raised from among the dead, ascended, exalted, given, the Father gave him all the honor, and there he is seated waiting for the Father until all his enemies be made his footstool. Finally, we'll come to chapter 12. With this background, in chapter 1, chapter 8, and chapter 10, the writer or the Spirit of God wants us to run the race, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. He started this course, he continued and concluded well, to the full delight, satisfaction of the Father on high. So we too have been called to run this race. As we enter into this race, we are already in the race. What should be our focus? Our focus should not be Abraham or Joseph or Moses or Joshua or anyone or Sarah or Rahab. But rather our focus is Christ Jesus. And then our fitness. When we know that we are in a race, we should lose every weight that is unnecessary. Anything extra in our lives that is a hindrance to make progress in our spiritual life. So laying aside every weight and taking care of sins that easily beset us. How many times, though we have been saved, we fall a prey to the sins that easily ensnare us or beset us. So day by day we need cleansing by means of the word of God. And we need to go forward. How? Looking unto Jesus Christ, who endured in all these three verses, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, He speaks of endurance. So in our Christian life, a call to endure whatever comes on our way. Let us endure patiently. Patience is required. One day, we will win that crown, that imperishable crown, if only we run according to regulations. Now, our focus, the captain. Our fitness, we need to take these instructions and take care of how we should conduct our body, not only body, our lifestyle itself, that it might please the Lord. And how we begin our life of faith, how we continue all these years is not so important. But the last thing is how we finish. There are so many who were not careful almost towards the end of their life of faith as believers. Many ships sink just close to harbor. Let us take care of these things. The Lord has given us precious reminders that we focus on Christ Jesus, who is seated there. Where is he seated? How is he seated? And why is he seated thus? It is for us only. May the Lord bless the few considerations or thoughts the Lord has given us this evening. Thank you very much.